Welcome to Hope Is Here, bringing hope to those struggling with life's difficult situations.
Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn, and I want to talk to you today about living a life of faith. I think, obviously, if you listen to this program, you want to grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you're on a spiritual journey and you're just wanting to check out about this guy, this person named Jesus that you've heard about in the best-selling book of all time, the Bible. And those of us who are followers of Jesus believe that it is the holy, inspired Word of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. But I know so many people, just because, I mean, life's been really tough over the past couple years with the pandemic and just dealing with COVID and the economy. And there's been a lot of challenges going on in the past two and a half years now since March 2020 when COVID first hit. But the good news is that Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But if you got your Bible, we're going to go back one other chapter to Hebrews chapter 12 and look at some people and talk about what faith really kind of looks like and encourage you in your faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 is where we're going to be camping out, and I'm going to share seven things that I've learned in my lifetime that have helped me live a life of faith, and I believe and hope that it'll help you and be encouraged in your faith walk. So if you're ready to take notes and you read along, we're going to start here in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a large huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is sealed in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility that Jesus endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up." You know, if you're listening today, you know, if you're listening on the radio live, it's Labor Day. It's a holiday for most people. I've worked plenty of Labor Day, especially when I had my grocery store 20 years ago, but you know, the fact of the matter is, man, you may just be weary and just really just kind of discouraged. And I'm thankful to know that Jesus knows what that's like. And that's why being a follower of Jesus is such a blessing for me to know that there's nothing that I walk through today or have in the past or will in the future, like we talked about at the beginning of this program in Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus hasn't walked it through. And I'm so glad to know that he gives us wisdom and he wants to help us and that we do not do this life alone. You don't have to have a spouse, okay, or a girlfriend, a boyfriend, you know, your partner, whatever the term, modern term is for dating somebody if they're not your husband or wife. But the point being is if you're single, widowed, divorced, whatever you are in this season of life, there's people that are lonely. And they may not be physically alone, but they are emotionally alone. And I want to remind you that if you're a follower of Jesus, that you always have the Trinity, the three in one, God the Father, Jesus the Son. And then Jesus encouraged and reminded us before he went to be in heaven after he rose from the dead. He told the disciples and 500 other eyewitnesses that I will leave you a comforter and a counselor. And that's the Holy Spirit. And so know today that you can ask the Holy Spirit, he's a person, and say, you know, I want you to be with me. I need your presence. I want to feel your presence. I need to know your presence today. But I want to share seven things with you. I'll probably get through three of them today and finish up the other four tomorrow that kind of helped me live a life of faith. And these are things that I've learned through both trials and tribulations, through mountaintop experiences, successes in my life, but also through failures and through walking through some really deep valleys like we all do. And so hopefully maybe some of these will help encourage you in your walk of faith, saying, you know, I want to live a life of faith here as we finish out unbelievably the last 4 months of 2022. The first thing is simply, if you want to live a life of faith, you got to remember those who have gone before you. We've got to remember those who have gone before you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 is where we were reading from today. But if you haven't read Hebrews chapter 11, or maybe it's been a while, I want to encourage you to go back and read Hebrews chapter 11. It's kind of known as the Heroes of the Faith chapter. And it says, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses. Friends, anybody that God used in the Bible, especially ones that, quote, have a powerful testimony, a powerful story that inspires us, man, they walked through challenging seasons and they had to step out in faith. And that encourages me to be reminded that sometimes I've got to step out in faith to get to this next season of life that God has for me. And don't let Satan keep you in fear from doing that. And, you know, there's several others that I could have quoted that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the Heroes of the Faith chapter. But the one that really always inspires me the most, my go-to person for inspiration and helping me in my faith walk, is Joseph. And most of you know the story of Joseph, sold as a teenager by his brothers because they were jealous of him. Plus, he kind of ran his mouth a little bit. Winds up that he was true, and they find that out down the road. But at the same time, he probably could have learned to be a little bit more humble. But his brothers were going to kill him. And then the last moment, they said, oh, no, we'll just sell him as a slave. And so Joseph was sold as a slave. Fortunately, though, the Bible says God was with him in the book of Genesis, and he rose to be his master, put him over his entire household, all that he owned. And then, unfortunately, though, Joseph, striking, attractive young man in his 20s, and that's how the Bible describes him. But unfortunately, his master's wife kind of had a thing for Joseph, but Joseph, being a man of integrity, kept just saying, no, I'm not going to. He would just say, no, no, thank you. No, I'm not going to do this to my master. He's entrusted me with everything. And then eventually, one day, she just kind of forced herself upon him, and he ran to get away from her, and she dragged his robe off of him. And when her husband got home, of course, there's Joseph's coat, his robe, and you know, it looked like he was guilty, even though, got to believe deep down inside, that her husband knew how loyal Joseph had been and the good job he had done. But he had no choice but to put Joseph in prison or be humiliated by his wife, you know, saying that Joseph had tried to attack her. So maybe you're thinking, you know, man, I've had a rough life. And I know a lot of you listening have, but I want to encourage you and remind you that Joseph, sold as a teenager by his own family. Then he's a slave, but he gets promoted to be in charge of everything. Then he's falsely accused and gets thrown in prison. You're like, man, can a brother get a break? Then, of course, as he's in there, once again, it says, the Bible says that God was with Joseph. Next thing you know, after a while, he's put in charge of everything by the warden of the prison. Then a couple of Pharaoh, the person over all of Egypt, puts a couple of his people in jail. And then they're having problems interpreting a dream, and Joseph interprets it for him. And when they get out and go back to the Pharaoh, he says, hey, remember me. You know, I helped you interpret these dreams. And it winds up that he was totally accurate on the dream. But once again, he had to wait 3 more years. I want to ask you today, are you waiting for God to answer a prayer for you? Well, know that you're in good company. Joseph had to wait 3 more years before finally one of them said, hey, oh, we know this guy that interpreted dreams in the prison when we were in prison. And they finally brought Joseph out. And as he interpreted that dream again, he went from being a slave and then being falsely accused in prison to being second in charge in all of Egypt. And so I want to encourage you with that faith story today of Joseph. I know a lot of you like me, you probably heard it before, but it always encourages me to live a life of faith, and hopefully it'll encourage you today. Rick Warren says, in God's eyes, the greatest heroes of the faith are not those who achieve prosperity, success, and power in this life, but those who treat life as a temporary assignment and serve faithfully, expecting their promised reward in eternity. Friends, I got to remind you, this is just a dress rehearsal for heaven, and God's working on us and preparing us for that. And this is all temporary, and yet I know it's hard sometimes because I want to enjoy this life, and I think God does want us to, but we've got to be reminded that, you know, we're going to be going to heaven someday, and to be encouraged by that, that everything that happens here is all temporary. And maybe that'll encourage you in your faith today as it did me when I read that quote several years ago. A second thing, if you want to live a life of faith, is you've got to look at what in your life is separating you from God. What in your life is separating you from God today? If you think about it, a lot of times it's because we're just too busy. And sometimes, though, I mean, you know, we can get, maybe if you're retired or you're in a season where, you know, you're without a job or you're in transition or something, sometimes we can procrastinate, and even though we have time, we still don't make time for God. And yet, I know most people, though, are kind of on that treadmill life, just feel like they're going nonstop. And I heard a pastor say many years ago, and it really just stuck in my mind and heart, and I've never forgotten. He said, if you want to see where your priorities are, take a look at your calendar and your checkbook, where you spend your time and where you spend your money. And maybe you need to take a look at those and see, you know, hey, are my priorities right? Maybe the reason I'm struggling in my faith is God's just something I do on Sunday morning. Or, the 15 minutes of Hope Is Here. It's actually 14 minutes and to be exact. And that's all I'm giving God. So maybe you're getting a little over 2 hours, let's say 2.5 hours with our five programs and an hour at church. And we have 168 in a week. So there's still 165 that maybe you're just trying to do on your own. So I want to encourage you to take a look at your calendar and at your checkbook, where you're spending your time, where you're spending your money. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9 says, if you're not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. And that's a great verse. If you're not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. And friends, to be firm in your faith, you got to be firm in spending time with God and taking a look at what separates you from it. Maybe you need to go to bed earlier tonight because you're too tired to get up in the morning to spend time with God. And I know a lot of people say, well, I'm not a morning person, but friends, I'm telling you, for me, if I don't spend some time with God, my day just does not go near as well. And I'm telling you, that 5 minutes you'll spend, I hope it'll grow from 5 to 10 to 15 to maybe a half an hour or even more, but you've got to start somewhere. And just making that priority. I tell you, when I get things right, spending time in that vertical relationship, looking up towards God, it's amazing how much better the rest of the day, all those horizontal relationships, all those relationships down here on this earth go because I've spent time with God first. A third thing, if we want to live a life of faith, is we can't be deceived. Sin slows us down. Don't be deceived. Sin slows us down. I'm getting all these three things I've shared so far, and the four more I will tomorrow, about how to live a life of faith, simply from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And in the last part of verse 1, it says, you know, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And so we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, taking a look at the sin that we all have, and maybe there's one in particular that you know is really separating you from God. But unfortunately, I'm out of time, but I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow or share this podcast with somebody. Go to our website, hopeishere.org. That's hopeishere.org. I'm Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.
Thank you for listening to Hope Is Here podcast. To listen to one of our previous programs or to make a tax-deductible donation, please go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Serving Central Kentucky since 2012, Gluten-Free Miracles is Lexington's locally owned healthy bakery and cafe. For those who follow a gluten-free diet, there are lots of delicious options. If you're on a paleo, keto, or vegan eating plan, then Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is also the place for you. Need a birthday cake or anniversary cake for that special occasion? Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe can also assist you there. Conveniently located off Nicholasville Road behind Jeff's Car Wash. Visit them today or check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.